In honor of all our soldiers, all our chayalim, we shouldn't have to lose anyone. Everyone should just be healthy, happy. Everyone in the hospital should be healthy, happy. All our hostages should come home in like a miraculous way. Hashem can do anything, you know? Hashem can do anything. And we're entering Shavuos. Shavuos is really a time of love. It's a time in which we became a Jewish people, you know? Before that, we weren't a people. Before that, we were slaves in Egypt. We were just people that we were from the family of Jacob. We overpopulated and we were slaves to Pharaoh. And God chose us. God chose us because of the merit of our great-great-great-grandfather Abraham. It was a promise that was given that the descendants of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob would come out of Egypt. But there was nothing incredible about them on their own. We know that 4/5 didn't even leave Egypt because they didn't have the faith and the desire to leave. And yet we come here to the holiday of Shavuos 49 days later. And right now, currently, we're about to come to the minute, to the moment in which we become a nation. And it's the beginning of the love story between us and Hashem. So today, I thought we would go and revisit the story of Shavuos. I brought in like some sources. I don't know how exactly your Shir works. Is it once a week? How often is this?
It's monthly.
It's monthly. Okay, so I hope you guys like this style. But I only made 8 copies, so we can like share between us. So I got some sources. The short sources on the top are, we have some like, I don't know how familiar everyone is with like Torah learning inside, but we have some like sources from the Tanakh, from the Parsha itself, which we're going to be reading on Shavuos. We have some sources from the Gemara, we have sources from the Sfat Emes, and we have a source from the Baal HaTanya, which was the Alter Rebbe who wrote the Tanya, the first Rebbe of Lubavitch. So we're going to start off with going back from the beginning and reading the text as it is and explaining to ourselves what actually happened at Matan Torah. What happened on the day of Shavuos that we're all commemorating, we're all celebrating. So it says on the third day, there was Kiles and Brakim. There was this huge, it was vivid on steroids, okay? There was like fire, there was fireworks, there was thunder, there was lightning. It was a whole spectacle. And it was the Bakal Shefer Chazak Ma'ayt. There was really, really loud blast of the Shefer. And everyone was very, they were very like, wow. It was very awesome. And then there's a pasuk. V'yatzeh Moshe la'am l'kras helakim. And Moshe went out with the nation towards Hashem, min ha'machan, from the camp. V'yitzyatzvul betachtit ha'har. And they stood under the mountain. Now, if you read this from like just a regular point of view, they stood under the mountain. What does that mean? What does that imply? So obviously, it doesn't mean they stood under the mountain. What does it mean? They stood at the bottom of the mountain. But the Gemara comes and takes it literally and says it's a Medrash. So Medrash, there's different ways of looking at the Torah. The Torah is very layered. What I love about the Torah is that there are many different ways, there's many different glasses to which we can perceive the text. We can look at the text. We're going to look at the text on 3 different forms. We're going to look at the text from Pshat, which is a simple explanation, which we're doing right now. We're going to look at the text from a Midrashic, from a metaphoric, from a homiletic sort of perspective, from homiletic glasses. And then we're going to look at it from a spiritual lens, from a Hasidic perspective. So the Gemara comes and tells us something very interesting. And this Midrash is a Midrash that's brought in Gemara Shabbos, in Talmud Shabbos, which recounts what happens. And when we were kids, I don't know if anyone remembers, but back in the day when you were in kindergarten, if anyone remembers the story that they told you, the story they told you was that Marashani was my kindy teacher. So Marashani taught this to me and I remember. Marashani taught me, I remember, that Hashem gave us a present and it was the Torah, and he asked all the other nations, do you want this gift of mine? They said, no, thank you, Torah. There's a whole song. The Torah is not mine. I don't want the Torah. They went to one nation. They said, do you want the Torah? And they said, what's in the Torah? And they said, in the Torah, it says, don't kill. Don't kill. We love killing. We want the Torah. I'm not going to say what nation that was, but okay. And then the other nation comes. And then they go and Hashem tells the other nation, what's the nation? What do you want? The Torah. And the nation says, what? Don't steal? Kidnap? Oh my gosh. Okay. We don't want to kidnap. We love kidnapping. We don't want the Torah. And then they came to the Jewish people. We sang this song in kindergarten. Anyone remembers? Familiar? They said, the Jewish people said, Naseh v'nishma, we will take the Torah. Whatever it is, we're happy with it. We'll take it. And the Jewish people got the Torah. But the Gemara comes, the Talmud comes, and tells us a completely different narrative. He says, "Betaktitahar, it stood under the." So everyone looks. So the first part we read, the top, and now it says Shabbos 88a. That's where we're talking about the Talmud. The Talmud tells us something interesting. Okay. When it says they stood under the mountain, if I'm going too fast, let me know, okay? When they stood under the mountain, it means that they literally stood. Remember, it's a metaphoric explanation, okay? They stood under the mountain, which means Hashem took the mountain. Gigas is a vat. God took the mountain and put it on top of their heads. Literally, that's what the Gemara tells us, okay? Took it under the mountain. For Amar Lehem and said to them, Imatem mekablim hatar mutav. If you take the Torah, mutav. Mutav is from the word tov. Good. Im lav, if you don't take the Torah, sham tieh kvoratchem. This will be your grave. How God threatens them. According to this midrashic explanation, it's metaphoric, okay? God is taking the Torah and saying, if you don't, it's like, we always, when we were little, we were like, well, Hashem was so sweet. Hashem was like, do you want to? We were like, yeah, we'll take the Torah. But this is telling us a completely different narrative. This is telling us that when Hashem gave us the Torah, we were forced into it. We didn't want it. We didn't care about it. Hashem was like, if you don't take it, you're going to die. So we were like, fine, we'll take it. We'll do whatever it takes. Okay. Amar Acha ben Acha. From here we learn that when did the Jewish people actually receive the Torah? B'mei Achashverosh. They only actually received the Torah in the times of Purim. D'chsev kimo v'kibla Yehudim, kimo masha kiblu kvar. Because the Torah tells us when it comes to the Megillah, only in the times of Megillah do they receive the Torah. Which is, just for context, when did they, right now we're talking about like 1000 BCE. When did the Jewish people, when were they in... when were they? Only 550 years later, in 586 BCE, when they were during the Purim story, did they receive the Torah actually? Okay, so we have this very strange midrash, and you read it and you think like, am I coerced into this? Someone forcing me to be part of this Jew? Am I in a cult? Like, was I forced into this? How do I get out of here? And I think in many ways, Jewish identity is a little bit, in a way, it's a little bit reminiscent of that. God, we're born with this. This is who we are. We can't get out of it. I don't want to get out of it. I love it. I'm so lucky. But it's like, okay, this is something that God said. I took you out of Egypt. You're not just random people that are walking around. I'm taking you with a mission. I'm taking you with a mission to receive the Torah and to be a light upon the nations. There was a purpose to leaving Egypt. You didn't just leave slavery to become people that are just free for all. No, I took you out of Egypt in order to be my people. And that you have to be my people. There's no way out of this. And if you think about it, at face value, it's very confronting. And that's where we sometimes look at Judaism. Sometimes people look at Judaism like it's something that's forced upon them. It's like, oh, shame, I can't be bothered to do this today. Like today, this is not something I want on my mind. I can't be bothered to do Shabbat this week. It doesn't work for me. And sometimes it feels like if we don't do it, we feel guilty because we were coerced into this. Now, this is the homiletic explanation. Now, as Jews, we know that we're in a Chabad house. And we know that Lubavitcher Rebbe took ideas and principles. Chabad took these principles and shone a light upon it. Took this text and said, the first Rebbe, the Rebbe that wrote the Tanya, said, it can't be so simple. It can't be that Shavuos, which is really the holiday of love. Shavuos is the holiday of love. It's the day that we became married to God. Hashem literally, it's called the marriage contract. Literally, we got the Torah. The Torah is the marriage contract between us and God. God married us. It wasn't just there was like fireworks and all this. It was like the most beautiful wedding ceremony we could possibly get. It couldn't be that God was wanting to have a relationship with us, and it's in such a harsh, cruel, intense capacity that there is a metaphoric explanation, which doesn't mean literal, but it means that there's some sort of underlying connection over here that sort of like cast a shadow upon this holiday. this holiday is all about eating cheesecake and feeling all, it's, if you think about it, my dad says people like disregard Shavuos. Everyone takes Pesach so seriously. People take Shavuos so seriously, Sukkah so seriously. Like Pesach is the most annoying Jewish holiday. Like everyone takes it so seriously. Shavuos, you can eat what you want. You can eat milk and you can eat meat. It's only 2 days. You don't have to clean your house. It's so fun. It's such a, you go to shul, you get ice cream, you get cheesecake, you get blintz. It's the best Jewish holiday. And everyone's like, Shavuos is like, I go to Central, I live on their street, and like Shavuos, like no one attends shul, okay? But Pesach, everyone's going crazy over Pesach. I'm like, Pesach's the most annoying Jewish holiday. Everyone's taking it so seriously. So the way in which we celebrate Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, doesn't seem in alignment with this text. So in order to go deeper, I want us to turn the page. So it's a little bit nerve-wracking. It's got a lot of little letters. It's the last one. Okay, it's a lot. It's very, it's got a lot of little letters. But I thought it's always nice to have the text. Okay, so I'm going to go and explain to us what the Baal HaTanya tells us. And I think it's going to give you a whole new appreciation, not just for Chassidut. And I know Sarah knows a lot of Chassidut and she's happy to sit and learn it with you in her spare time. But just to give you an understanding why it's so important, why it's so special to learn the deeper meaning of Torah. Why is it so important to take the time to learn the deep, secret, meaningful lessons that the Torah tells us? Okay. V'hinei Yisrael zachala matan Torah adei Yisurim degalas mitzrayim b'char milaveinu. Basically, it's saying that the Jewish people went through a lot in order to receive the Torah. They went through Yisurim. They went through hardships. The reason why the Jewish people went through terrible circumstances before they received the Torah is because in order for them to actually be capable of being like able to be recipients, because at the end of the day, there's this concept called bittul in Chassidut, which basically is a bit of a side point. It basically means that life is not all about you. The key to happiness is when you realize Judaism is not all about what is your rights. Judaism is about what's your responsibilities. People will be happier if they realize every single thing in their life was a gift. You're not deserving of anything. You don't deserve to be invited to that birthday party. You don't owe anything. If every single thing you get in your life, you're like, wow, that's so nice she invited me. It's like, wow, that's so, your whole perspective in life changes. And the whole concept of bittul is not saying that I'm nothing, I'm not deserving, I'm garbage. It's saying no. It's recognizing that every single thing, you know, there's people that are entitled, like I'm a teacher, okay? So like there's always the students that are entitled. Like, why didn't you give this to me? Or there's a student like, thank you so much, Ms. Hirschwitz, for giving your time. It's like, wow, that's so sweet. She doesn't just think that all the time belongs to her. Like that's a student that you feel like, wow, that person is a person that has integrity. And the Torah is trying to teach us over here that the Jewish people, when they got the Torah, Hashem wanted them to be in a space. That's why we count the Omer for 49 days, because every single day we're supposed to be people that are grateful, that are good, that we work on ourselves. So that's why we receive the Torah now. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay, we're skipping some lines. Okay. And then the Alter Rebbe says the most beautiful line. Okay. How did they get to this great level of being appreciative and recognizing and not being entitled? Because when they left Egypt, it took them 49 days to actually work on themselves. They were very entitled. They left Egypt. They were like, where is our meat? Where is our this? Where is our that? It took them 49 days to actually work on themselves and be recipients to being light upon the nations. How did they get to this place? Because Hashem took the mountain and put it above their heads. And it's, I have chills when I think about it. But the Alter Rebbe says something really powerful. How did they get to this level? And he quotes a pasuk from Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is a song of songs that was written by King Solomon, which is a very passionate love story about a man and a woman. It's very, very intense. And it basically represents the relationship we have with God. It's a metaphor between us and God, this passionate love story. The man wants the woman. The woman's like us. We're like, God, we're not interested in you today. We're busy. Like there's so many beautiful ideas that the Baba Treba spoke about that come from this idea that we're like, we're too tired. We're not interested. And our love, our Dodi wants us so badly. And we're just like not in the mood because today we're not in the mood today. And he brings a line from Shir HaShirim. Hashem gave us a hug. Hashem took his right hand and he gave us the biggest hug and he embraced us. And the Alter Rebbe says that when you look at these words, Kafaleim Harkagigis, that Hashem took the mountain or vat upon their head, Hashem was giving them this absolute infinite expression of love. There was so much love. And there's my favorite line over here that, I don't know, this whole line is beautiful. Hashem put such a great love from above onto the Jewish people. Hashem says, I love you. Hashem loved us every single side, even the side of us that's not so great and not so perfect. Hashem wanted us. Hashem showed us such a deep expression of love. Hashem loved us in totality. Even though we came out of Egypt, even though we weren't perfect, even though we spent the whole 40, everyone, like, people love to say, like, Jews were so good back in the day. And if you look at the Torah and you look at Tanakh, no, Jews were not perfect back in the day. And they're not perfect today either. And no one's perfect. They were never perfect ever a time in history. We love to reminisce. People love to say, oh, during the times of the temple, they must have been perfect. No, read about the times of the temple. They were definitely not perfect. They were flawed. They were human. And God gave us such a deep expression of love to this level that Chassidus speaks about panim, but panim al panim. There's different loves that Tanya talks about. And this level of love is basically when you love someone so deeply. I don't know, when we were kids, if you knew that a boy from year six had a crush on you, you immediately had a crush on them back. It wasn't rational. It didn't make sense. You just knew he liked you. So you liked him back. That's the love panim b'panim, which is basically like the reflection of the water. If you know that God loves you and you know that every single day Hashem looks at you and Hashem says, I believe in you. We say Mode Ani every morning. Rabbe Monatech, Hashem believes in you. Hashem loves every single aspect of you. Hashem is literally a cheerleader that wakes up every single morning and says, I believe in you. I know that you are going to have, you have a responsibility. When God gave us the Torah, God didn't just give the Torah to some random people. God gave the Torah to us, l'saken olam b'malchus shin dalad yod, to fix the world. When everyone says, why are the Jewish people being held at such a crazy accountability? People love today. I was at an engagement party and this guy comes up to me and he's like, why does everyone hate the Jews? In Somalia, in Lebanon, in Syria, they're murdering this many people. And I was like, it's completely irrelevant. Do you know why the Jewish people literally take up a disproportionate amount of the news? Because God promised us. God told Abraham that you are going to be a great name. We are literally famous. Nothing we ever do, it just because it's in Somalia, just because it's in Syria, just because it's Lebanon, no one is holding the Syrian government, the Lebanese government, the Somalian government, the Yemenite government on such a high standard that they hold high standards for them. Everyone holds Jewish people at high standards. But why do they keep us as high chance? Why do they criticize us so deeply, even though there's crazy massacres going all over the world? But when we do one little thing out of line, there's no war in history that has been this criticized. This, everyone literally has microscopic lenses on every single thing we do wrong, step foot here, step foot there. There was no other event in history that has been this much scrutiny. Not just randomly, it's not just out of the blue the reason why it's happening. No, because when Hashem Matan Torah gave us the Torah, it says, L'sakein olam b'malchus shin dalad yod. Hashem gave us a responsibility and achrayot to be or lagoim, a light upon the nations. And like Tevye says, God, choose somebody else, okay? That this is the facts. The facts is that this is our responsibility. That's why when I say, like, how are we going to change people's perceptions? How do you change people's perceptions of Jews? When you walk on the street, when I walk on the street, they don't see me as Chana. They see me as the entire Jewish nation. Every single person in this room is the entire Jewish nation. Everything you say, I like threw a tantrum at the airport the other day and I was like, Chana, you're standing here throwing a tantrum. The entire Jewish nation is having a tantrum right now. Like, you need to behave yourself. Like, they're not treating you nice. And I was like, I had that moment and I was like, you know what? It's fine. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Goodbye. Like, they know, I'm wearing a magenta vid. I'm Jewish. I like, even if the way I behave, the way I act represents the entire Jewish nation. And when did that happen? That happened at Matan Torah. At Matan Torah, Hashem, it says, Vayechan Sham Israel Negar Ahar. How? It says, Vayechan, the Jewish people camped And it's in singular, Vayechan, not Vayechanu, and they camped. And he camped. And what does Rashi say? Ki ish echad belev echad. One people, one nation. There was no division. And that moment, they were able to receive the Torah. The Jewish people became one. Through love, we became one. And we became one with God. And at that moment, it's like this magical thing happened at Matan Torah. All of a sudden, we become this nation. We become this people that are not only have a responsibility upon the nations, which is like super intense, but that is what was entrusted in us. I'm grateful for it. We are so lucky. We are a light. We are 0.02% of the population. We are the greatest minority on the planet, yet everyone thinks Jews run the world. We are such a tiny minority, yet what we do matters. When did that happen? That happened at Matan Torah. Matan Torah, Hashem looked at us and said, I am giving you, I'm entrusting you with so much love because I know that you are going to be a light upon the nations. And when Hashem just demonstrated that intensity of love, we demonstrated that love back. At that moment, we said, Hashem, we are in for this. Naaseh v'nishma. We can do it because we know that there is someone that loves us unconditionally, no matter what we do, on good days or bad days, on days that we're not feeling like perfect Jews. It's so funny, everyone's obsessed with Jewish guilt. There should be no Jewish guilt. If God loves you in completion, if God loves every aspect of you, b'chanas acharayim, even the parts of you that you don't love about yourself, it doesn't matter. It just means that Hashem loves you because he's your child and there's nothing you can do or say to be divorced from that love. And when you feel, we always say like kids in school that are struggling in school and going out of line, it's because they're not receiving enough love from their home. No, when you go on your life, that there is an entity, there's something inside of you that believes in you, that loves you, that knows you can do it. And when you have that energy, when you have that love, and when you have that Torah, then you can literally achieve anything. So I bless all of us that instead of taking this incredible responsibility that was bestowed upon us at Matan Torah and think, this is so heavy, my shoulders hurt, we think to ourselves, wow, Hashem knows that we are an incredible group of Jewish women. Hashem told the women before the men on Matan Torah. Hashem spoke to the women and said, you can do it. You can be a light upon the nation. And I'm giving you all the love, the encouragement, the cheerleading to know you can do it. Thank you so much for having me.